You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's a gym class for a midweek Wednesday here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard throughout Eastern Iowa, the Midwest, and maybe around the world. Who knows? Scott Unash, Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. Ben, our producer on the other side of the glass. We've got a great show for you coming up today. We're going to chat with Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, Iowa Wrestling, Iowa and Nebraska from last Sunday evening. We'll talk about that. We'll talk and look ahead to the Big Tens as well. That's back in Lincoln, this time at Pinnacle Bank Arena. And we'll get you set for that, ready to go. Talk a little bit about the state championships as well last weekend at Wells Fargo Arena. All that with Mark coming up in just a little bit. Also on the program today, we'll look back at Iowa's big blowout victory over Michigan State last night. Look ahead to Iowa State and UNI in action coming up tonight. And a whole lot more, including Zach Johnson. Great news for Zach and a Bowling Night in America preview for you. Text line available at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well if you just like to pick up the phone and weigh in. Always appreciate hearing from our listeners out there. And thanks for tuning in on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app. You can download that at any time, and you can also listen to us on your smart speaker. And if you've missed anything on all of our programs, which includes us here in the gym class, Spencer on Sports preceding us at 2 o'clock, and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, they're all available in podcast form at our website at kgymradio.com. Just click on each individual show, or you can go to Apple or Spotify. As Mark Dukes joins me on this sunny but chilly Wednesday afternoon, how are you?
Doing well, Scott. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And yes, you mentioned the text line, Razorback Dale. Noting the Razorbacks won again, beat Florida.
That was a big one last night. Not only for Arkansas, that was unfortunately a bad loss for Florida as they're right on the bubble now trying to get into the NCAA tournament. Still plenty of time. Still plenty of time. No doubt about that. But a good win for the Hogs last night. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to talk about your favorite team, as Razorback Dale did, and of course we love to chat about that with you coming up as well. What a night in Iowa City last night, Mark, as you and I both said, well, I said Iowa was going to win last night. You waffled a little. But I think you were more on the Iowa side of winning than against the Iowa side of losing last night, if that makes any sense. But man alive, I did not see a 26-point win coming away from Carver last night.
No, I didn't either. I thought it was a good matchup for Iowa, but it is Michigan State. It is Tom Izzo, not with his best team by far. But Iowa with its second straight game, at least the half against Ohio State in this one. I mean, just playing lights out, shot it well. Defended well, did almost everything well. 41 points off the bench and just relentless. And I really have to commend Tom Izzo after, you know, a week in which we've been talking about Juwan Howard and Greg Gard. And Izzo spent a considerable amount of time last night afterwards complimenting Keegan Murray, complimenting Fran McCaffrey, complimenting the whole Iowa team. I guess what's he supposed to do, losing by 26? But he didn't have to. I really respected him for that.
Yeah, and this is not a great Michigan State team. I think we can all agree on that. They are 18-9. It's still a good Michigan State team, but it's certainly not one of the best that Tom Izzo has had up in East Lansing. It's a team that can't shoot it straight. And in the past, they've had that situation. They've been streaky shooters. They can get hot at times this year. Anybody can get hot at times this year or any time. But they made up for it with great defense and relentless rebounding. They don't have that this year, really. Iowa out-rebounded Michigan State by one last night. And you'll take that. And held Sparty to 35% shooting, 31% from three-point land, while Iowa shot 12 of 28 last night from three-point range in the ball game. And the Iowa defense, again, very, very good. I thought from the get-go last night. And you know what? For Michigan State or anybody, it was going to be tough to go into that atmosphere last night and come away with a victory. A terrific ceremony both prior to the game and then at halftime, of course, for Luca Garza. And you know you're a good program when you are more often than not the recipient of a lot of pre-game and halftime ceremonies surrounding your games on the road. And this is not Tom Izzo's first rodeo as far as playing with that is concerned, but it was a hopped up crowd last night, and it was a hopped up Iowa basketball team.
Yeah, it was. Listed attendance 14,800 and change. That's always a bit inflated, but it was an enthusiastic crowd. Just a fun, memorable night overall for people that were there. With the ceremonies for Chuck Darling, Roy Marble, and Murray Weir beforehand, and then the halftime ceremony with Luca Garza. Garza got some time on ESPN, and had Iowa not won the game, it would have taken a lot of luster off last night, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and the banners look good up there. Look good up in the rafters, and kind of completes things a little bit. Now, if we can just get in-game stats like every other place in America, we'll be really cooking. 319-366-1600. They have the player scoring and fouls, but everywhere else has percentage shooting, free throw percentage, rebounds, et cetera, et cetera. I want that next. I want that next down in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. That is our text line. That is the phone line as well. 319-366-1600. Yes, 8186. The Fire Fran crowd is quiet for the moment. And Fran McCaffrey's doing a bang-up job. And I tell you what, move of the year may be moving Jordan Bohannon back to the point guard position, because the Hawks have been absolutely on fire since that has happened.
Yeah, 5-1 since then. Of course, there's different combinations throughout the game. I don't think it's any coincidence. Bohannon had a couple threes last night. Connor McCaffrey tried to do his best J-Bo impression, making a couple. And it was just across the board. Jordan playing a much better defense than he has in his career. And maybe it's coincidence, maybe it's not. But I think you want to ride that for as long as you can, and you can't afford to snooze through one Friday in Lincoln, I'm telling you that right now.
No, you cannot look beyond that game. And, after the pounding that Nebraska took in Iowa City, that Fred Hoyer, and Fred doesn't have the horses, and deep down, Fred knows that. But it is basketball. Anything is possible. You can sneak up and beat somebody, especially a Nebraska crowd that is going to be ready to go as far as trying to beat the Hawkeyes. So that is certainly not, it is not a gimme over there. It's not a two-footer or going after a five-pin or whatever. Whatever gimme scenario you want to play out. Hawks moved up a couple of notches as far as the net rankings. They're up to 18th right now. More importantly, Iowa is in the sixth spot as far as the Big Ten is concerned, right behind Rutgers. Still not getting a lot of love as far as postseason is concerned. Maybe they just tear through the NIT. And hey, with a veteran team for Coach Peichel, they want to get into the NCAA tournament, no doubt about that. But I don't think Michigan State has anything to worry about at this present time, but you never know. Sparty is, what is that, 5 out of 6 now Michigan State has lost? Or right around that figure?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so they kind of traded places with Iowa last night. I think they're okay, but you never know. 319-366-1600. If you want to talk about Iowa and Michigan State from last night, we're going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up in just a little bit. And we will talk as well about the news breaking today. It is not official as of yet. Monday, it sounds like it will be official. But Cedar Rapids own Zach Johnson is going to be the Ryder Cup captain for 2023. And that is fantastic news. And we'll talk about that more coming up in just a little bit. Friend Dave weighing in. A complete domination by the Iowa Hawkeyes. An extremely entertaining game to watch. If you were an Iowa fan, I would agree. 319-366-1600 at 15 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. And as you mentioned, Iowa taking on Nebraska on Friday night on the road. And you certainly cannot look by that game like you talked about. But, man alive, that what I really liked is the fact that lately Iowa has been coming out in the second half and playing just lights-out basketball. And that has been the bugaboo over the last handful of years, is that first 3 or 4 minutes of the second half. And as of late, Iowa is taking leads and extending them out. And that is a good trait to have for a basketball team.
I thought it was more so getting off to a strong start in the first half.
True.
You remember the second half, and you were at a game, so I don't know how much you were able to watch, but Michigan State scored a couple quick ones, and Fran McCaffrey had to take time out to kind of refocus his guys. But by and large, you're right. In both halves, I thought Iowa played very strong.
Yeah, started at the start of the games. Yeah, I did watch it on my phone until I couldn't watch it anymore, and then had the rest recorded and watched that when I got home. And yeah. That's how you keep up with things right now when you're all over the place, Mark.
Yeah, it's going to happen again tonight and the rest of the week as well on CRM Live.
Yeah. The Blues are being sacrificed, though, right now. Cannot watch those games. Something had to give, Mark. Something had to give. So for these 2 or 3 weeks, I'm sorry to my St. Louis Blues and Alex Kuhn's St. Louis Blues and other folks, St. Louis Blues, they're going on the back burner for the next couple of weeks. Still following them. 4-1 winners over the Flyers last night, by the way. UNI in action tonight there in Terre Haute to take on Indiana State. Indiana State is not having a great season, and the Panthers should win. But again, there's one of those games you just never know how it all plays out. UNI needs that to set up the big one on Saturday, when they take on Loyola in the regular season finale as far as the Missouri Valley Conference is concerned. And that could be a really, really big game. Drake is at Valpo tonight. Same scenario right there, although Drake is not quite in as good a shape as you and I is right now. Loyola has Evansville at home, so I'm all but putting that in the win column right now for the Ramblers. Missouri State has a toughie. They've got Bradley, who's playing pretty good basketball right now. And in the Big Ten tonight, before we get to Iowa State real quick, huge games, doubleheaders on Big Ten Network, 6 o'clock. Rutgers goes to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. Two bubble teams right there, Mark. If Rutgers wins on the road at Michigan, a lot of eyes, of course, on the Wolverines without Juwan Howard, et cetera, et cetera. But I got news for you. Phil Martelli is probably a better X's and O's guy than Juwan Howard is, and he's going to be coaching Michigan for the rest of the regular season. And Wisconsin goes to Minnesota. Wisconsin favored. Wisconsin should win, but it's a rivalry, and it's on the road at Williams Arena. So those are two big ones in the Big Ten tonight.
Yeah, I'd be interested to watch Michigan. You're quite right about Martelli. I mean, it could be a whole lot, you know, more fall off from the head coach to an assistant coach than from Howard to Martelli. We've seen Iowa with an interim coach a couple times during Fran McCaffrey's career, and it's turned out well. Be interesting to see what Michigan looks like.
Yeah.
And without a couple players.
True. Very true. Matt in Fairfax was there last night on unreal atmosphere. Never thought I'd see Iowa whip Sparty by 30. Well, almost 30, but it happened last night. 319-366-1600 at 20 past 3. We'll talk more basketball. We got to get to Iowa State. They've got a game against West Virginia tonight at home. We'll have it for you at 6 o'clock tonight, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. We'll talk about Zach Johnson as well. But we're going to talk some wrestling when we come back. Mark Ironside will join us, our weekly chat with Mark. And we'll do that when we return after a look at the weather forecast and this break here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have a mix of sun and clouds for the remainder of the day. Temperatures are going to be near 20. It will be breezy and wind chills will stay near and below zero. Tomorrow, we'll start with cloudy skies. Temperatures will climb into the low 20s. We'll then have snow moving in after 2 p.m., and we'll have light persistent snow leading to slick conditions through the evening commute. A widespread 2 to 3 inches of snow accumulation is expected. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Breaking Benjamin, live in concert. Breaking Benjamin, with special guests Seether, Starset, and Lacey Sturm. Alliant Energy Powerhouse, Friday, May 6th. Get tickets now at creventslive.com. Breaking Benjamin, rocking all the hits for one incredible night in Cedar Rapids. Get tickets now. For more, check breakingbenjamin.com.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Lots of places are hiring right now, but Midwest Metal Products is where you want to be. Family owned for over 55 years, Midwest Metal Products has second shift production openings for a painter, a powder coater, and several other positions. Great starting wage and excellent benefits, including profit sharing, on-the-job training provided. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required. Equal opportunity employer. Apply online at MidwestMetalProducts.biz. That's MidwestMetalProducts.biz.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
3:23, back with you on the Gym Class, a Wednesday edition here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben with you here today, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and that includes the 5 o'clock hour, which is Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire Service, with their locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And follow them and make your appointments and find out all the information you can with them at LinderTire.com. Our weekly chat with Mark Ironside is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Hats off to Kurt. He is located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V is Mark Ironside joins us here on a sunny Wednesday afternoon. You collecting your breath, man?
Well, a little I can before we go like gangbusters right now, pretty much this week for the kids tournament. So it's just, I need to get through this week.
The kids should, they energize you, man. And having, thousands and thousands of kids on mats there, that's wrestling.
Yeah, it is wrestling. It's third through eighth grade, and these kids really get into it. And a lot of times the parents get into it more than the kids. But it's fun. It's really, really interesting to see, you know, all these little kids after they win or lose come up to the booth, and grandma and grandpa's wanting to buy them a shirt because they did really good, or just trying to make them feel better because they didn't do so good. But a lot of emotions at a very, very young age. But that's the future of, the high school state tournament that's going to be held in Wells Fargo. They're going to be wrestling in a high school tournament at some point in time too, so, which was just their last weekend. So it's good. It's a cycle, and a lot of these guys that, you know, performed really well at the state tournament this last weekend, they wrestled in this tournament at Wells Fargo as kids state, and it's something. And there's a lot more girls involved this year too, way more. So I think there's like 200 or 300 more kids signed up this year than there ever has been before, which is awesome to see.
Sunday in Lincoln, Mark, a little too close for comfort or not?
Yes and no. It was a frustrating duel from the fact that I hate losing. I guess it's probably the easiest way to put it. I just hate losing. But I hate losing the Devaney Hall or something?
Right.
I can't remember what they call that. But Nebraska, they, as if anybody watched it on the BTN or anything like that, when they did win, they were very showboatish and like to make sure that it was known that they won and the crowd was into it and everything else, you know. But was it too close for comfort? Not really. I mean, if you really look at it, Mark, 149, Max Mirren was out this week. Resting, getting ready for the Big Tens. We put Vince Turk in there, and he still goes, you know, a one-point match, you know, with their number three or four ranked guy in the country, Lovett. And he's right there with him. Lovett didn't do a dang thing the entire match, like nothing. And we were in on shot after shot after shot after shot, and I'm kind of disappointed. And Kurt Frost, the referee, usually does a phenomenal job reffing, is one of my favorite refs. But for some reason the other night, he was either off or something, but Stalling was – not in his best calling nights on that night. But anyway, Lovett never got called for Stalling. I just don't understand it. I don't get it, but whatever. But we were right there with him. We could have won that match. And we almost had him taken down, I don't know how many times. Big win, though, at 41 from Jay Neiderman over Chad Red. Big win at 57 for Caleb Young over Rob. That was a really, really big win for him. DeSanto obviously looked good with the Tech fall. It was great to have Drake Ayala back, who looked really, really good. He just missed the major decision because he ended up getting caught reaching, like that's kind of been his thorn in his side all season. When he gets caught, guys getting to his legs, he gets caught reaching, trying to hit that slide by. He needs to keep his hands down when he comes across and not give up his legs so easy. But anyway, he ended up getting taken down that third period and still got another takedown, but lost the major because of it. But he looked good. It was good to have him back in the lineup. 65, I was hoping to get a major there, but we wrestled a good, solid match there. Marinelli did. And 74, you know, we're getting in on shots, but we're just not finishing this year. We're just, you know, Kemmer loved the kid to death, and we're getting in on shots, but he just rolling around and giving up our ankles when we get in shots and getting out of position and just not scoring enough takedowns. A lot of those going to stalemates and instead of finishing. And Labriolo, you know, was able to come out on top in one of those scramble situations and win a nail biter of a match. And that one could have obviously have gone either way. 84, Ava Sod's looking phenomenal. It's the best I've seen him look probably all year long. He's beaten Taylor Venz, who's I think they're ranked number two or three in the country there. And he's beaten him. He'd taken him down twice. He's up. He's doing well. And then Venz, give him credit. He hit a beautiful, beautiful shot. And as he's driving through us, we did something that wasn't very smart. We tried digging our arm in and underhooking. And what he was looking for there was, as Venz was driving into him, he's looking for like a lateral drop and a throw of his own, but ended up giving up his arm. We basically gave it to him. And then Venz was able to body lock and put him to his back and ended up giving up a pin there. So we're winning the dang match. And then we ended up getting pinned. You're just not smart wrestling right there, but we're right there in that match. And then 97, Warner, you know, it's kind of, you know, his thing, you know, and we saw against Penn State, you know, he gets a lead in the third period, and then he just kind of mentally just kind of stops wrestling and gets caught on his heels and gets taken down and ends up losing the match. We just need to learn to finish a match at 97. And then hats off to Tony Cacioppo, who came in a tough situation there and won the match and the dual meet for us, and because it came down to heavyweight. And I had a full confidence in Tony. And he didn't score any takedowns in that match, but he was in deep a couple of times. But I think he was pretty cautious. He just wanted to make sure he got the win and got the W against a really good quality opponent, too, from Nebraska. That guy's a big, big dude. So, I mean, 49, we could have won that match. Should have, would have, could have, I understand. But it was super close. We could have won that match. 74, we could have easily won that match. 84, we're winning that match. 97, we're winning that match. We honestly could have shut him out. That's how close that dual meet was and those matches we lost. And that's just what we've been doing, unfortunately, all year. We're losing a lot of these nail-biter, tough, close matches. So with the Big Ten's coming up, we got to get that turned around. We got to start winning them because if we're going to win a Big Ten title, a national title, one, we got to start winning the close matches, flat out winning. And then two, we need to start picking up some bonus points more so.
With that in mind, Mark, is this kind of a wake-up? Maybe you can look at the silver lining as far as that is concerned, that, hey, you know, we were this close, but then again, we're kind of this far away. Is that maybe the mentality and maybe just, you know, checking some mental boxes now, getting ready?
No, I don't think it was a wake-up call or anything like that. I mean, heck, that's what's been happening to us all year long. If it was going to be a wake-up call, it would have been Ohio State. It would have been Penn State.
Right.
You know, we would have already had that wake-up, and obviously we haven't. We're still having those close matches. But we're also winning some big close matches, too. Like I said, 41, that was a match that we won. 57, that was a match that we won. So we're winning some of them, and we're in there. We're fighting. We just have to learn to be smart and finish matches, and obviously that's something that the coaching staff is, I'm sure, preaching to the guys. And when you go into the postseason right now, you don't have any room for error. You got to be your skill sets have to be completely 100% sharpened, razor sharp, and go into every match and thinking and knowing the situations, knowing the scores, and not getting caught out of position like Drake Aiello. You know, you just can't get caught reaching, looking for that slide by. Hands down, coming across, you get your hands on him, then he comes up around your head, boom, there's your slide by. But you don't go looking for it and reaching for it. So just a lot of little things that I think Tom talked about after, I think that was the Penn State meet on our post-match show, that little things, and you'd think that they would be easy fixes, but yet if they were, they would have been done by now. So sometimes guys have a hard time breaking old habits, as they say, and easier said than done.
Mark, I wanted to ask you a technical question, and I think it stemmed from the DeSanto match. The announcers on the Big Ten Network, one of them said, referenced DeSanto's hand on the bicep of his opponent before he went in for a single leg. And I'm thinking to myself, what part do the hands play in a takedown? For example, a single leg, whether you're heavy on the bicep or around the neck, from a technical standpoint, can you explain that?
Well, more likely what they were referring to is the way that Austin DeSanto grips the back of the tricep on his opponents. And what he does is he grips it. He's got a really, really good grip and solid, but then he turns his wrist kind of down and in and his elbow down and in, which is exactly what you're supposed to do to really crank and tighten that up. And then his fingertips just grind and grip into the back of that tricep of your opponent. But when he hits that shot, he's able to take a guy down with it so well and so easily. And that's one thing that Spencer Lee's really good with, too, is on these sweep singles. And that's kind of Austin DeSanto's bread and butter, that he's got such a good grip on that arm that it follows down through and it makes that takedown go so easily for him. And that's why you see guys like RBY and other guys, you know, when they wrestle with him with their arm behind their back, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
They keep that arm back. They literally put it behind their back. He's so good with that. They don't like to give it up. They literally just wrestle him and keep their left arm behind their back so he cannot grab it. The other thing is people have really, really complained over the years from wrestling us and saying, oh, that when they get done wrestling them, they've got like marks, like rash marks and like bruises and stuff on the back of their triceps. And, you know, I know that, you know, when Drake Ayala came in the room and started wrestling him, his arms at the back of the triceps were all beat to heck after he's done wrestling. And there's nothing illegal about it, nothing bad about it. It's actually good. But that's just how stinking tough and strong that DeSanto is in that position, that his grip is so good there that just literally just like rubs the skin right off of you. It's like almost makes you raw right there. And that's where he's really good at it. So guys, from a technical standpoint, don't want to give up that side. And they try to keep that arm back. And where Austin's done a better job is learning to attack the other side when a guy doesn't give you, you know, what you want in that arm. So at some point in time, if you start attacking the other side to defend that, then they're going to have to start using that arm, that left arm, to post. And then that's when you can attack that arm. But that's why you got to be good and you got to be able to wrestle from both sides, left and right.
Yeah. Mark Ironside joining us, 3:35, gym class for Wednesday on KGYM. You mentioned Drake Ayala. And I'm with you. I thought he looked good. Fresh. I'm not sure if he's 100% yet, but he's in the 90s, I think, right now. And it was good to see him get out there and get a match in before for Big Tens.
Yeah, I think it was really important for him to get out there and get in front of a hostile crowd, too, and wrestle off of a one-hour weigh-in with the first match being him right out of the gate. And so I think that was big. I think that was huge for him and kind of, he got back on the horse and found a good stride, and it was really good for him to get that in before going into the Big Ten Championships because he'd been off the map for so long, and he came out, you know, halfway through the season. So every match that he can get is really important, but I think he held up well. Obviously, his shoulder is still dinged up, and it ain't going to get fixed on its own. So he just has to learn to wrestle with it, and I think he's done a really good job with that, and it's really nice to have him back for us at 125 pounds.
5037 on the tech sign and the 641 area code has this question mark, and I'm not sure if it references any particular match, but the question is, why do we build 3 to 4 minutes of riding time instead of releasing and getting takedowns?
That's a great question. You know, I often wonder that myself, and one of the comments that I make, honestly, doing the commentary is that I just sometimes wonder if these guys are even aware, which I mean, obviously jokingly, but you only get 1 point riding time for, you know, 1 minute riding time. So, I mean, you don't get after 2 minutes of riding time, you don't get 2 points. After 3 minutes of riding time, you don't get 3 points, you know? So it's like, if you can't turn him, let's cut him and start working on our feet and keeping the action going because, you know, it makes you a lot more fun and a lot more interesting to watch, and you become more of a crowd favorite if you're keeping the action going. I mean, people want to see action. And it also makes you a better wrestler, too. I mean, just kind of floating and blanket riding is not going to really improve you at all. But at the same time, it just kind of depends on who you're wrestling, where you're at in the period, how much time's left, you know, what the score is, and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, a lot of times, though, yes, we could definitely be cutting guys and releasing them and score more points on the feet. But to be honest with you, I'd like to see more turns and more pins. And that's one thing that it's just really been weird this year. And it kind of came into my mind when I was doing the card this week, when I was writing down as I do every match and kind of going through every match. And it's like, you know, so let's say it's 3-0 us, and then it's, you know, we got a tech at 33, but then we get a regular win too, and then they get a regular win, and then we get a regular win, and then they get a regular win, and it's just regular decision, and it's not just us; it's all teams across the board in college wrestling this year, and it's been like over and over and over this year. It just seems like every single time I go to add, you know, after a match is over, adds the score to the team score on my sheet that I fill out as I'm going, my stat sheet, it's always 3 just for regular decision, whether it's us or the other team. Not very often this year have I written down a 6, like added 6 more points to a score or 5 more points to a score. You know, there's been just a ton of regular decisions this year. And I don't care about the rest of the country. Let them do whatever they want to do, but it'd be nice if we could get more bonus points, and so I could write down and start adding more 4s and 5s and 6s to our totals. And to be honest with you, We're going to need those bonus points. If we're going to win the Big Tens, we're going to win the Nationals, we desperately need to get every bonus point that we possibly can. And the state wrestling tournament this last weekend was a perfect example of that in the team race in 1A, or I'm sorry, 2A and 3A. Bonus points is what won it for those teams. I mean, Notre Dame, West Burlington wins by half a point. If Wolrath doesn't get a major decision at 182 in the state finals, they lose by half a point. That's how important a bonus point is, but not just that one match in the state finals. You can go all the way back to, you know, the first round of the dang tournament, you know, and the same thing with Waverly Show Rock. I think they had 28 bonus points throughout the entire tournament. They only won the tournament by 3 points. So that's why bonus points are so crucial, especially when it's going to be such a tight race between us and Penn State and Michigan. You know, bonus points and every point, team point, is going to make a big difference.
Analytics have not hit wrestling yet. So, well, maybe it's coming. Maybe it's coming down the line a little bit. So, you know, what? Good dinner afterwards or beforehand with the Branses and Mark Manning?
I don't think you're going to ever see that happen. No.
But it was pretty, it was okay for an Iowa-Nebraska matchup.
It was all right. It was cool. I love those environments. I just hate losing in them. You know, it was good. They had an elevated stage. It was senior night for them. Those guys, and you know, that's the other thing too is, you know, if, I don't know, Michigan State's in there, Purdue's in there, you know, those guys don't wrestle half as good as what they wrestled against us. You know, but anytime that we step on the mat, anytime we step on the mat against somebody, you got to realize and understand and know you're going to get their every bit of their best of them. So we have to be ready. We're not, they don't take us for granted. They don't just kind of, it's not like just a lackadaisical, oh, here's a Sunday afternoon duel meet, you know. I mean, it's Iowa. And so, you know, Manning didn't cry too much, you know, that as bad as he normally does. I mean, he did, but not as bad as he normally does. But it was just a good duel meet overall, and it was a back and forth, and it come down to the heavyweight match, and it was good for the sport of wrestling, but it just didn't need to be that close by any means. But at the same time, if you're Nebraska, you're thinking, holy crap, we could have won that match, you know, if we, you know, came down to heavyweight. What if we would have pulled out 41, we pull out 57? It's like, we could have won that match so easily. So both sides are like, man, there's a lot of close matches in there, and they're trying to get all the positives they can. But how I think about it is, they're the ones that were so close but yet so far away.
Mark, I know you couldn't possibly have watched every match, but give us a couple, three guys who you really liked over the state wrestling tournament.
Oh, my gosh. This was one of the best tournaments I've seen in quite a while. A lot of good wrestlers, a lot of good hammers out there. It's hard to just name a few, but obviously Ben Keeter comes to mind at Iowa City High, pins his way through the tournament. You know, he's a junior, he's undefeated. He won it as a freshman at 160 pounds, which is super hard to do. And he beat Tate Nachtaborn of Linmar, who was another freshman that year at 160. He had two freshmen at 160. And I don't think either one of them has lost. I mean, not Tate has, I don't think, lost since then. So, Tate's a two-timer now, Ben's a three-timer now, and both of those guys just absolutely stormed their way through the competition. Ben obviously going to Iowa to play football and wrestle, which should be interesting to see how that works out. And I know that he was at 220 this year, but he's going to be moving up to heavyweight next year, I'm sure. And Tate is going to Iowa State to wrestle. So both those guys will stay in the state, and we'll see a lot of them in the future. Nate Jessaroga of Southeast Polk, who's another Iowa commit, man, did he look good, too. That kid is just phenomenal. So Iowa's going to be loaded in that 125, 133-pound weight class for quite a while to come. I'm just glad that Jess Roga's only a junior because we've got, you know, we've got possibly Spencer back another year, and then we've got Drake in there. So we need to space them out a little bit. But, you know, and then Benton Community, state champion. He looked really, really good, too, which was awesome. That's the first state champ for them since probably, I think, around 85.
85.
Yeah. 85. Did KJ talk about that this week?
Yeah, I asked him the same question. What was the last time Benton had a champion? He said 85.
I was thinking about that, too. When I got to the Nebraska locker room that day on Sunday, and Tom and Terry and Morningstar and I were all sitting in the locker room just talking about it, they were asking, like, when's the last time Benton got? And I was thinking it was maybe Chad Hennings.
Yep, he was 80. He was 84, and then his teammate got it 84 and 85. And I can't. Wow. The name is escaping me right now.
Yeah, well, that's awesome though. That's great for Benton community and Jake Voss. You know, obviously a coach over there right now, and his dad being Jeff Voss from West Delaware. Jake's going to do a great job there wherever he goes. Just his personality, just like his dad, and it's really neat to see. So, you know, as far as other wrestlers, there were just so many that you could throw out there. Chet Buss, the heavyweight at 1A, who pinned his way through the tournament too, was MVP of the entire tournament. I think he's going to UNI, I believe he is,
yes,
to wrestle. So, you know, just three of the people I just named, he's from North Butler, but three of the people I just named, you got one to Iowa State, one to UNI, and one to Iowa. And then, so it's getting spread, the wealth getting spread around the state. And I'm just excited to continue to be able to keep watching these guys in the future.
Yeah.
If I could do one last one here, Scott. How tough is it going to be for Keeter to play football and wrestle? I mean, I remember Mark Sindlinger did it. Maybe there's some others. What's your opinion there?
Well, I mean, it's going to be tough. There's no doubt. The biggest thing is he has to stay healthy. That's the number one priority, obviously, and it's not easy to do when you're playing Division I football in the Big Ten and you're wrestling in the Big Ten. So if he stays healthy through his whole career, to me, that's going to be an absolute miracle. I think that football, obviously, will probably get precedence over wrestling, in the fact that they're going to – I mean, I don't know what position they're looking at, maybe linebacker.
Yep.
But they're gonna want him big. They're going to want him healthy, and there's obviously no weight cutting down to 197, so he's going to be heavyweight for us. So, but the good thing about Ben is his mindset and his mentality. I think if anybody can handle it and be anxious to do it and give it their all, it'd be him. He's just such a great kid with a good head on his shoulders, and I know he's excited and he's ready to take on the challenge. So it'll be fun to watch him both on the football field and see how it translates over to the wrestling mat as well. And being an Iowa City kid, I mean, what more could you really want?
Yeah, and he's a great linebacker, just a really good linebacker. One question before we let you go here. Does Murren beat Lovett? That's from 5786.
Well, I guess we'll see. Big Ten's probably. Lovett beat Murren last year at the Big Ten's. I don't know. I mean, he could. They're very possible. You know, I think that Lovett's so hard to score on. His defense is so good. And I think one of the only ways you're going to really score on him, have a good chance of scoring him, is with the double leg. And that's where Murren has. He's got a good double leg. So I know that Lovett put us to our back last year at the Big Tens, scored, I think, 6, a feet to back, and we battled back and lost it by a point at the end. So it was a really hard-fought, tough match, but we have potential winning that match, but it's no gimme either. That's one that, you know, it's a coin flip, and it can kind of go either way. But I like, obviously, Max Murren and the season he's been having and how gritty and how tough that he is. But at the same time, Lovett is just so stinking defensive, and that's what his offense is his defense, and he's hard to score on. And he's great on top. That's why we didn't choose down underneath him, too. So,
yeah. All right, we'll talk about the Big Tens coming up next week. Great job over the weekend, and we will look forward to next Wednesday.
I appreciate it. I look forward to it, too, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
All right, thank you, Mark. Mark Ironside joins us each Wednesday, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Mark, I want to get to you and an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
2023 Ryder Cup captain Zach Johnson will resume play on the PGA Tour tomorrow at the Honda Classic in Florida. He is paired with Stuart Sink and Shane Lowry, and he will go off at 6:34 a.m. Central Time. The Iowa baseball team preparing for a weekend series of games in Corpus Christi, Texas. The Hawks 3-0 step up in competition as they will play Pepperdine, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Wichita State. The USFL held its draft last night. Number one overall pick, former Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson to Michigan. And finally, in the department of coincidence, last night's Iowa game against Michigan State, Patrick McCaffrey on 2-22-22, number 22, played 22 minutes and 22 seconds.
You can't script that, ladies and gentlemen. And you can't even try to do that. That was just the craziest coincidence of all time, perhaps. But, hey, that's interesting. By the way, before we get to a break here, a sad day for Chicago White Sox fans. Julio Cruz passing away from prostate cancer over the last 24-hour period. And Juice was a terrific, terrific ball player. A lot of fun. He scored the winning run in the clinching game of the 83 for the 83 winning ugly Chicago White Sox to win the Western Division Championship on a Harold Baines sacrifice fly. But he was acquired from Seattle through that halfway through that season for my favorite Sox at that time, Tony Bernazard. So it was kind of a cruel twist of fate right there. So there you go. You got Tony Bernazard and Julio Cruz today on the program, ladies and gentlemen. That's diving deep into the baseball annals right there as we try to get baseball Major League style back.
I wasn't all too familiar with Tony, but Cruz was a really nice player.
Yeah. They thought he was going to be a little bit better than he was, but still, did some good things. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about Zach. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa State and get you a Bowling Night in America preview. All that coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Dutch Boy Platinum Plus. It's only paint. It's only paint that comes in a twist and pour container. It's only paint that will transform your den with just one coat of salted lavender into a writer's sanctuary. It's only paint that will help you become TV's hottest writer, where you'll meet this guy.
Hey.
Who starred in That Thing.
Now that's a twist I didn't see coming.
Dutch Boy. It's only paint. Only easy opening, smooth pouring, change your life paint. Only at Menards. Get 11% off everything, including Dutch Boy paint.
My community means everything to me. That's why I joined the Army National Guard. I'm proud of where I'm from, and as a soldier, I get to give back to the people that helped me succeed. The training and leadership skills I get from the Army National Guard help me every day when I teach young people and look out for my community. If you'd like to learn how you too can serve part-time in the community you love, visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. About 5 minutes remaining here in the program for this Wednesday. Tomorrow, Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. We'll take a look back at Iowa State and West Virginia from tonight. Take a look at the college basketball weekend and a whole lot more. That's coming up with Kevin and the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. And it is time for a Bowling Night in America preview. And it is brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And Gang's going to have to do it without me tonight, man.
And I'm sure they'll give it a go. Lane's 23 and 24 against those Rascals from the Union Station. We'll tangle with the Union Station tonight, trying to hang on to third place in the adult Evergreen League.
Daryl Bentley and the rest of that grand crew right there. Hats off to them.
Daryl was better at basketball, but he's still a pretty good bowler.
He can wing it down the lane too, man. and Mike and the rest of the guys. So I miss seeing them tonight, but I will be there in spirit. So we'll have a complete report coming up tomorrow as we'll take a look back at Bowling Night in America. And, of course, it is brought to you by May City. And let the folks know website, phone number.
Website, MayCityBullsCR.com. Phone number, 362-0136.
There you go. Best of luck to the Rusty Nails tonight. All right. We've got Iowa State and West Virginia coming up tonight, Mark. And as far as the Cyclones are concerned, a good opportunity to get three in a row as far as the Big 12 is concerned, to get win number 19 and pad that resume a little bit more. And you cannot, much like Iowa-Nebraska Friday night, if you're Iowa State, you cannot look by this game because you have already had one loss to last place West Virginia, and you cannot afford another loss to last place West Virginia.
Revenge game, and I expect Iowa State to take care of business tonight.
Yeah, I would too. Especially the way the Cyclones have been playing as of late. The defense kind of reinvigorated a little bit, if you will, and just if Iowa State can get someone else besides Brockington, especially if his name is Gabe Kalscher, to get going, I think they'll be in good stead tonight. But we'll have it for you at 6 o'clock, 1600 a.m., 102.3 FM tonight. We'll join just ahead of the tip-off as Iowa State in action tonight against Huggy Bear and the West Virginia Mountaineers, who are really falling off. They didn't have a bad non-conference season, didn't play the toughest schedule in the world, but boy, oh boy, they've been they have not been good when the Big 12 has gotten started, that's for sure. So we'll have that for you tonight starting at 6 o'clock this evening. You and I also in action in Terre Haute to take on Indiana State, and Drake in action tonight as well. Mentioned Zach Johnson during your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, and it's not official as of yet, but all indications are pointing to the fact that Zach will be the captain in 2023. And we have talked about this before, Mark. I thought anyway, he might be a President's Cup captain prior to it, but he's been a vice captain, and apparently the folks with the PGA of America and others thought that Zach was the man and he'd be ready to go. And what is going to be really, really tough to win on foreign soil in 2023 in Italy?
Yeah, local programming, this might have been a lead story any other day, but being a captain of a Ryder Cup team is special. Zach's team will be defending the cup, but it hasn't won on foreign soil since 1993. So Zach and his team will have its work cut out for him. The news has kind of been overshadowed today by the Phil Mickelson flap. But I think this is going to cement, if it hasn't already, Zach's place in the Hall of Fame. He's been on 5 Ryder Cup teams, vice captain and 2 others, and now captain of a Ryder Cup team. Just a little old guy from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
As he said back in Augusta.
Yep.
many years ago, certainly. But very proud of Zach, and can't wait till that. A lot of golf to be played. Of course, this is a President's Cup year in 22, and then the Ryder Cup will be contested in 2023, and it will be tough in Italy. That's going to be the Ryder Cup as of late been very vocal crowds, and it's going to be that and more, I think, the first time it goes into the continent and into Italy. Looking forward to that in 2023. All right, Mark, we will talk with you tomorrow. Have a great night, and we'll reconvene at 3.
You as well. We'll talk to you then, Scott.
Yeah, we'll be out at Benton Community tonight as CRM Live Sports, a 1A regional final. Springville and unbeaten Baxter going at it tonight, 6:45. We'll be on the air out there on CRMLivesports.com. For Mark, for Ben, Scott, thanking you for listening. You've been listening to The Gym Class on KGYM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Be ready for winter weather and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's time to replace your old wiper blades with a new pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades. Right now, save $8.